I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
Here we are again with another installment of Sean Hammer, continuing like I promised with the Broken Promises supplement from Malifaux. I almost said Warhammer. Son of a bitch. As for things that I've been doing since the last time you heard me, I think I'm collecting a Wood Elf, Sylaneth or whatever army. And we'll go from there. As the time goes, we'll cover that a little bit. Why not? Today we're going to cover the Resurrectionists. So, not going to ruin any of the story so far in the book, except for the three main Resurrectionist masters. Remind me of the... How can I say... I don't know. The Resurrectionist version of the Three Stooges. I don't know. But here we go. We are hitting it out. We got our first entry into the Resurrection. We have her name is Sarah Rotten. She's a henchman, so an 8, cash of 5, with the 5 defense, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. She's got as her abilities, Residents of Rottingburg. Friendly undead models within 12 inches, and line of sight may take a melee 1 actions printed on this model's stat card. But then they can only take one action printed on the stat card once per activation and cannot declare triggers. Apparently she runs around the quarantine zone, so that's the next ability. At the start of every turn, place a height 0, 50mm quarantine marker anywhere within 12 inches of this model. She's got the necromantic font. Yeah, necromantic font. When this model activates, all enemy models within 3 inches of one or more quarantine markers must pass the target number 14 weapon willpower duel, or suffer 1 damage. And she's got always more zombies. At the end of this model's activation, it may discard any number of corpse markers within 3 inch aura of herself to heal 2 damage per discard corpse marker. She got some attack actions, which one is undead minions, melee 6 with built-in chrome, target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage. Increases action dual total by +1 for every quarantine marker within 3 inches of the target to maximum of +2. With a crow trigger, what is built-in, contagion, after damaging, if this attack killed a living model, summon a mindless zombie in base contact with the target model before it's removed. The target drops no corpse markers. Her next attack action is Hands from Below. Melee 6, again, with a crow. This one is a ranged attack. And its target gains the following condition to end of its next activation. Grasping Hands, +1. This model reduces its defense and walk and charge by the value of this condition. With a crow trigger, after succeeding the value of the target's Grasping Hands condition by 1, if it's within 3 or more inches of a core, you boost up the amount of the condition if you're within 3 or more. If it's within 3 of, 1 or more quarantine markers. Sorry, I'm having a rough time. My glasses are messing up. She's got tactical actions, 0, from the quarantine zone. Summon a mindless zombie in base contact with a quarantine marker. Then remove the quarantine marker. This model does not need line of sight to the summon model. Pretty easy summoner right there. Not too shabby. Next up we have, and let's go over the way she looks. Like a normal, a ghetto mom? I don't know. Next up we have a Kentaurio. Kentaurio, I don't know. But this is an undead centaur. This is a horror, so of course Molly's going to be looking at this model. So costs 8. Minion, undead, horror. Defense 4, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 6 walk, 10 charge, height 3. is going to be going on a 50mm base, and so is Asura Rotten. She'll be on a 50mm base as well. For abilities for this guy is Zombie Steed. When this model declares a walk action, it may target friendly height 1 or height 2 model within 2 inches in line of sight. At the end of this movement, place the target in base contact with this model. It's got Hard to Wound plus 1 and Loose Stitches. At the end of this activation, model's activation, if it performed a charge action, targeting an enemy model, it suffers 2 damage and places corpse marker in base with itself. So when it charges an enemy, it drops corpse markers and takes 2 damage. For attack actions, as a lance, 6 with a built-in crow. Target suffers 1, 2, 4 damage, or 3, 4, 6 damage if this action was generated by a charge. Not bad. It gives infect on the target, so gives a minus 1 and you number of times equal to crows in the final duel. It's got Rotting Hoofs as his other action. Both of these are melee actions. Target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage, then places model in base contact with the target. Rear up with a double crow though. After succeeding and after completing the placement, enemy models within 3-inch pulse must pass the target number 13 defense duel or suffer 2 damage. Well, not too shabby. Tactical actions, he's got 2 zeros. First one is gather up the pieces, or gather up pieces. Discard target corpse marker and base contact with this model, then heal the model 2 damage. So, you can get back your wounds you spent charging. Simple as that, if you want. Other zero actions, unconcerned about attrition. This model gains the following condition until the end of the turn, can't be stopped. This model may charge while engaged, so as long as it does not charge a model it's already engaged with. So, it can leave an engagement to charge another model if it wants. It's a pretty gruesome looking model. It's a riding horse with a zombie on it with a lance. I mean, much more do you want? Next up, we have Bone Pile. I don't know, it looks like Siamese twin skeleton's picture, anyway. 30mm base, 6 cost, Bone Pile, minion undead, 3 defense, 3 willpower, 8 wounds, 4 walk, 4 charge, height 2. It's got Bag of Bones. Reduce all damage suffered by this model by 1 to a minimum of 0. Damage flips against this model. Okay, for 2 months, I got a period in there. Damage flips against this model, suffering negative flip. This model is immune to all non-slow, non-scheme conditions. So I guess can't put it on fire and stuff like that, but you can distract it and do other things like that. It's got Pylon as its other action. After this model ends a walk action, it unburies, and may discard a corpse marker in base contact to heal 2 damage. And it's got an extra set of, and it's basically at the start of your turn, choose one of the following bonuses. It gains the bonus to start of your next turn. It can gain extra legs for plus 2 walk, plus 2 charge. It can gain extra arms, gives your attack actions a plus flip, or skulls. This model counts as 2 models for purposes of strategies and schemes. So a little versatility going with this guy, I see. He's got a rusty sword, melee 5 with built-in crow that will do infect on the attack, and then damage spread is 2, 3, 4. He's got a bone javelin. This is a 8-inch range attack. Target suffers 2, 4, 5 damage. This action can only be taken once per turn, and if you have a tome, you can declare the trigger to pin to the ground. After succeeding, the target gains the following condition to the end of turn. Pinned. This model may not declare walk or charge action. At the start of this model's activation, this model may discard 2 cards to end this condition. So controlling your opponent's hand a little bit, to screw with your models if they want to do something, is never a bad thing. It's got 2 tactical actions called Give Up the Ghost, Bury This Model. At the end of the turn, unbury this model in base contact with a corpse marker. If there are no corpse markers in play, this model is killed. And so kind of like a teleport. Alright, we have another 50mm base model coming up, and this would be the Gravedigger. Rare 2, Enforcer Living. Costs of 7. 5 defense. 6 willpower. 8 wounds. 5 walk. 6 charge. Height 2. The model looks like a human version of a gremlin with a gun strapped to her back. Or it could be... I don't know. It could be anything. It could be a crutch. It could be a wrench. I don't know. I don't know what's on the back of her back. But she's wearing pearls. And yeah, it's a really weird model. Anyway, for abilities, she's got Grave Robber. When a corpse marker is placed within 6... Now, aura, this model, may push 4 inches towards the marker and discard it. If it does, draw a card and gains the corpse borrow plus 1 condition to the end of the game. Heap of bodies. This woman's pushing a wagon with a dead guy in it, just so everyone knows. When this model is killed, place a corpse marker equal to the value of its corpse borrow condition in base contact with it, ignoring Grave Robber. Wheelbarrow of Corpses. If this model has the corpse barrel condition, friendly models may target this model with action as if they were a corpse marker. Whenever a corpse marker would be discarded by an action targeting this model, instead reduce the model's corpse barrel condition by 1. So she is a traveling corpse marker for your summoners and such. So she's got shovel, so I'm assuming maybe that's what that's supposed to be on her back. I don't know. Melee 5 with crow built in. Range 2, target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage. With the crow trigger, it's got borrow hands. When damaging, you may lower the value of this model's corpse borrow condition by up to 2 points to minimum of 0. For every point lowered in this way, the attack deals plus 1 damage. So, technically speaking, you could do 4, 5, or 6 damage with the shovel. She's got the Wheelbarrow Ride, which is a melee 5 with a crow. Range 2. Target an enemy model within range. Move this model up to its charge distance. At the end of this model's movement, place the target in base contact with this model. If the target is touching impassable terrain, it suffers 3 damage, which may not be reduced. Let's see, tactical action, 0, bring out your dead. Until the start of this next activation, corpse markers within 3-inch aura of this model count as friendly scheme markers. If a corpse marker is affected by 2 or more of these auras, it does not count as friendly to anyone. And another one on the heap, another 0, tactical action, discard a corpse marker within 2 inches of this model to gain the following condition to the rest of the game. Corpse borrow plus 1. Reduce this model's charge by plus 1 to a minimum. Reduce this model's charge by plus 1 to minimum 0 condition. So basically, the wheelbarrow's getting heavier and she won't be able to charge because she's pushing the Wheelbarrow of Death, I guess. Let's see. We've got two more guys before the upgrades on this list. Next one is a Little Gasser. It's a undead gremlin. It's undead minion gremlin. Soulstone 4, quite unique, scary-looking thing as far as gremlins can go, but it's an autopsied dead gremlin. Defense 4, willpower 4, 6 wounds, 5 walks, 0 charge, height 1. It's got Blown-Ed Stench for abilities, meaning that this enemy model, which deals damage to this model with a melee attack action, suffer 1 damage after resolving the current action. So they smell. You popping them. Smell bad. Terrible odor. At the end of this model's activation, it may make all models within 2-inch pulse gain poison plus 1. It's got floating along. This model ignores penalties for severe movement or severe terrain when moving. If this model is pushed, increase the distance by a plus 1. So he's full of gas, so he's like a Macy's Parade gremlin. On 30mm base, at least. He's got hard to wound plus 1. For attack actions, he's got Frantic Flailing. 5 with a built-in crow. Targets suffers 1, 3, 4 damage. And you got 2 triggers to choose from, both needing a crow. In fact, or this was a terrible idea. If the target is killed by this action, it counts as having been killed by the poison condition and not by this model. So, yeah. Let's see, tactical actions. Pull my finger. Can't get away from that one with a gaseous gremlin, huh? Range 2, it's going to be a pulse. Target number 11, all non-gremlin models in range must pass a target number 15 willpower duel or suffer 2 damage. With a crow trigger of significant thrust after damaging, push its model 2 inches in any direction. So it's kind of like splitting off a mystery man, but in a gremlin. Now next up we have this Lumpad. This is pretty cool looking model. It's a floating spirit ghost thing. Obviously it's a spirit. It's Enforcer, Undead Rare 3. Spirit. And he's pretty cool. And he's on a 40mm base, and yeah. As for model wise, if you can judge a book by the cover, this guy. He's got fuel for the fire. When an enemy living or undead non-PN models within 10-inch aura of this model is killed by the burning condition, this model may discard a card to summon another of this character in a base contact with enemy model before it's removed from play. Immolating aura, other models ending their move activation within 3 inches gain burning plus 1. He's got Sassanar's Plight. Reduce the damage this model suffers from burning condition to 0. So you can't burn something that's already burning, because he's going to laugh at you and say he's burning. He's dead. Move on with your life. It's got attack actions. Melee 6 with a tome. Target suffers 1, 2, 3 damage. Okay, I'm sorry about that. The attack action is burn with me. Target suffers 1, 2, 3 damage and gains the burning 1 condition. With the tome that's built in, stroke the flame. After succeeding, the target gains an additional plus 1 burning for each tome in the final duel. It's got embrace with a crow trigger. After succeeding, the target gains the following condition to end the turn. Embrace. This model may not declare walk or charge actions. He's got exhale flame as another attack. Target suffers 2, 3 with the blast, or 4 with the double blast damage. All models damaged by this action gain the burning plus 1. So this guy is all about fire and killing you with fire so he can make more of himself. Which is pretty cool. He's a spirit, so maybe cry? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. I'm going to have to actually look at the word Lampad. It might actually be Oriental. I don't really go into that, and we'll see later. It's got a tactical action, hovering flame. Push its model up to 6 inches any direction, ignoring models during that push. At the end of this model's movement, any models that this model move through during the push gain burning plus 1. So, all about burning. Simple as that. Burn, baby, burn. Okay, Greek mythology is where that comes from. They are letters on the underworld, and they are nymphs. There we go, that's where the lamp pad is. Now we have the upgrades. No musical interlude today, or deviation. We'll get one at the end of the show, but not now. First up, we have Epic Morning. This is, he's got 2 upgrades, new upgrades. Both 1 soul stone cost, both for either resurrections or guild. This model gains, for the first one, test subjects. This model gains the following abilities. Test subjects. Crews led by this model may hire up to 4 non-gammon models with academic and or beast characteristic, which that are not the crew's declared faction. So McMorning's, with this upgrade, his crew types can be a little bit more diverse. He's got the Dox improvement for the second abilities. When a friendly academic or beast model activates within 8 inches of it, it heals 1 damage. Yeah, there we go. Next up we have Guild Coroner. This model gains the following ability. Time of Death, before I got here. After killing an enemy model with a melee action, place a friendly scheme marker in base with a different enemy model within 12 inches line of sight. This model may then take a 0 action printed on this card. And these are the tactical actions on the card that's printed. Paid by the Body. Range 3 pulse. Discard all corpse markers within the range. For every 2 corpse markers discarded this way, add 1 soulstone to the crew's soulstone pool. And corpse retrieval duty. Discard a corpse marker within 3 inches. This model of this model to draw two cards and then discard a card. So more hand control for McMorning, and you kind of need it when your scalpel slinging and stuff like that. I don't know if I really do McMorning as a rezzer, although I should, but I like the whole thing that he's hiding about in the guild and stuff like that. Next up we have Seamus, a.k.a. Sebastian Baker. The first one that both, like I said, okay, both these upgrades are just Seamus's, not limited. First one is, this model gains the following abilities, My Lovelies. This model might hire up to 4 non-totem living showgirl models, regardless of faction. Showgirls models hired in this way permanently lose the living characteristic and gain the undead. So, he's can have more lovelies with him. That's exactly what that says. And I don't know how that really works out. It's that one guy, the fire dancer. He's a dude. But, hey, you know. I don't know. I'm leaving it there. He's got their biggest fan. When this model uses a Rise My Sweet action, it may summon a living showgirl model instead of a bell minion. The summon model permanently loses their living characteristic and gains the undead characteristic. Pretty cool, Seamus. You're taking a little bit of shape in Malifaux. I like how you're going, and I dig it. And he's got a 0 tactical action, Confuse Their Trail. This will place a friendly scheme marker anywhere within range of base contact of one piece of terrain. Nifty. He's got his other action, which is Do You Know Who I Am? His model gains the following ability, Create Fear. Once per turn, when an enemy model within 6 inches passes a horror duel, this model may deal 2, 3, or 4 damage to it. If this ability deals severe damage, the model gains the following condition to the end of the game, Infamy, +1. Horror duels generated by this model have a +1 targeted number with a maximum of 3. +3. This model gains the following tactical action, Boo. All enemy models within 3-inch aura within range must pass the target number 12 horror duel. Now this has a 7 willpower with a built-in crow, and the trigger is you can run. After succeeding, you may push any model that passed the resulting horror duel a number of inches equal to +2 the value of your infamy condition. So, you still, even to passing it, you're infamous. You can move them around. Alrighty, we got Molly's up next. She got back on a job. Both of hers are not limited. Both of them are 2 soul stones apiece. Back on the job, this model gains the following ability. Thorough investigation. After both crews are deployed, you may look at all the opponent's unrevealed schemes. If any schemes have any associated variables, such as name model, the opponent does not need to disclose those variables. This does not reveal schemes. Let's see. Next up, this model gains the following tactical action. Jinkies, a clue. Really a Scooby-Doo reference. Discard an enemy scheme marker within 6 inches. If you do, draw 1 card. This action may be taken once a turn. Not bad, I guess. Next up, Forgotten Items. Model gains the following following abilities. Lost and Found. When this model uses the ones left behind action to summon a model, the summon model may prevent 1 damage for every enemy scheme marker within 3 inches of it instead of preventing the damage for every models within 3 inches. So, you get a little bit more versatility bringing stuff out. A little bit more life on your summon models. And the other things is things I must almost remember. When this crew reveals a scheme, draw 2 cards. That's handy. That is not too shabby. Next up, we have Nicodem. I don't really play Nicodem. I don't know if I will. But he'd be the last Rezzer Master that I do play, because I'm not really fond of the old Undertaker Necromancer thing, because I played so much of it in Warhammer. I'm just trying to diverse my playstyle a little bit. But anyway, he's got a one soul stone and 2 soul stone upgrade. First one is 1 soul stone, Circling Buzzards. This model gains the following ability, Bury Corpses. After determining initiative on the first turn, this model may discard any number of cards. For every 2 cards it discards, place a corpse marker on the center line at least 8 inches from another corpse marker. Not bad, I guess. This model gains the following tactical action, For the Birds. CA 6 with the crow. summon a vulture to base contact with a corpse marker, then discard the marker. Any non-friendly vultures other than sacrifice. So he can only have one vulture per turn. But at least his vulture, you don't have to start. You don't have to pay for him. You can get him free with that, I guess. And with the trigger, it already has built-in crow, so you need a ram. Something left behind. After succeeding, place a scheme marker in base contact with the summoned vulture. So you get a scheme marker on top of it. Not a bad thing. I mean, frees up a little points, like I said, because you're not buying your totem. And this next one is two soul stones, their last breath. This model gains this if this upgrade is attached to Nicodem. This model gains the following ability: Superior Undead. When another friendly living resurrection model is killed within the model's line of sight, it is not killed. Instead, it heals all wounds attached to this upgrade to this model. Okay, so you're putting on when another. Okay, so you're moving it from Nicodem to the model. If this upgrade is attached to a non-Nicodem model, it cannot be discarded to gain. It can be discarded to gain the following ability: Decaying +2. This model loses the living characteristic and gains the undead characteristic. This model cannot heal any more damage per turn than the values of this ability. Then this model's activate. When this model activates, it suffers +2 damage, which may not be reduced, ignored, or prevented. At the end of the turn, increase the value of this ability by exactly 1. So, you're decaying. Got nothing other than that. He's going to put it on your model, and you're going to be slowly dying. Next up, we have Karai. Neither of these upgrades are limited. Both are one soul stone. Vengeance Will Be Mine is the first one, and this allows this model to gain gains the following ability: Hold a Grudge. Enemy models within 6-inch or of this model do not remove the adversary condition at the end of the turn. And the Karai crew is all about adversary, so obviously that's a good thing. Next up, we have Ectoplasm. This model gains the following abilities: Ectoplasm. If a friendly non-peon spirit is killed or sacrificed during this model's activation, this model may place a scheme marker in base contact with it before it is removed from play. Also, she's got Spiteful Wrath. Friendly Chessian models, which are considered to have the undead characteristic for this purpose of the Malevolence ability and may be affected by the effects of aura actions generated by friendly masters and totems. So it's allowing your usually just Wound Soaker models that really aren't doing nothing, giving them a little bit more versatility. Finally, and last but not least, we have Reva. Oh well, and the Conflex Reaper. But that goes for the Emissary Fate. But anyway, Reavas are both Soulstone 1s. She got one limited, one just Reva. So her limited is Spectre of Death. This model gains the following ability: Spectre of Death. When performing an attack, if the model is not engaged, it may draw a line of sight, measured range for all casting actions from friendly spirits within 8 inches in line of sight. If it does, the attack deals -1 damage to a minimum of 0. This ability is ignored when determining engagement. This model gains the following trigger on its ethereal reaping actions: with a crow corpse light, after killing a living enemy, summon a session model in base contact with model. So now Reva's got some session models that she can have in her crew, so I guess you're going to have to buy a little bit more if you're playing Reva. She's got Riders in the Sky. She gains the following ability: Terrifying Charge. When this model declares a charge action targeting enemy model, that model must immediately pass a 12 horror duel. This model gains the following tactical action: 0. On Horses Snorting Fire, casting of a 6 with a crow, place a blast marker touching every corpse marker in play, regardless of line of sight. Every model touched by one or more of these blast markers must succeed a target number 12 walk duel or gain a burning +2. And if you throw a tome in there, they'll hit her trigger as they ride on, hear their cry. After succeeding, every model with a burning condition must pass a 12 target number 10 horror duel. So it's just like that's a lot of horror duels, whew, one after another. It's like for different actions and stuff like that. So, she could be mean. So the Emissary of Fates is 0. This upgrade may only be attached if Reva is the cruise leader. This model gains the following ability: carrying a corpse. Friendly models may count this model as a corpse marker when performing actions. Each time a friendly model does so, this model suffers 2 damage. If the attack action discards the corpse marker, discard this upgrade after resolving it. And this model gains the following tactical action: carrion feeder. Target a corpse marker within 10 inches and discard a card. Place this model into base contact with the target corpse marker. If the discarded card was a crow, you may push the corpse marker up to 3 inches any direction. So it gives them like a little teleport. And that will be it for the Resurrection section of the Broken Promises Malifaux supplement. I'm leaving you today. Don't know what I'm leaving you with for music-wise, but I'll see what I got. Remember, I have a Taylor Miss model up for grabs. If anyone wants it, contact me at SeanHammer, the number 9 at yahoo.com. Check out my Facebook page, and remember, until next time, if you're not having fun, stop.
Fear of the dark! Fear of the dark!